You're listening to The Profile.
Hi, and welcome to The Profile podcast. I'm Andy Peck. For the last 19 years, it's been my joy to investigate how Christians can lead better by talking to a variety of Christian leaders inside and outside the Christian world. So whether you are in a leadership role or simply looking to maximize your influence for God, I hope you find this next conversation helpful. The show is brought to you by Premier Christianity, the UK's leading Christian magazine. Get full online access and the print magazine every month by becoming a subscriber. See special offers available now at premierchristianity.com. It is said that it is the job of the leader to define reality for the people they lead, by which is meant that a wise leader describes things as they are. As Christians in leadership, reality has to be touched with hope. We are clear on the reality, which may be facts and figures charting decline or tough stories, but we worship a God who brings his own reality to any situation. The Apostle Paul could say to the church in Rome, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Romans 15:13. Well, I'm joined today by Stuart Gregg, who with his wife Liz is pastor of Celebrate Church, Bradford, a church that's looking to bring hope to its neighbourhood. If you think that every church is doing that, well, I thought it would be valuable to see how specifically Stuart is serving the community and casting hopeful vision. So thanks for joining us today, Stuart.
My pleasure. I'm all the way down in New Zealand, but it's great. Zoom is a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Absolutely great. Yeah, it's just as you could be in the next street. So fantastic. So how did you come to lead Celebrate Church, Stuart?
Well, I trained as a Baptist church leader at Regent's Park in Oxford. So I did a theology qualification there. And then I led another church in the city, a Baptist church, for nearly 25 years and led that into all sorts of different things. Increasingly, as I sought to be somebody who pursued the supernatural as a normal part of Christian life, that led to some tensions, shall we say, between myself and the denomination. And I decided it was time to have a little bit more scope and space to do something a little bit different. So about 8 years ago, we started something new, and Celebrate was born with a small group of people who were willing to experiment and have fun and be family. And it's grown from there, really.
So that takes us to my next question, really, Stuart, and the vision you have for the church.
Yeah, I mean, the vision for the church is, I guess, is to be something a little bit different from what we've done before and what other people are often doing. I mean, our strapline says that we exist to encourage, skill and release bringers of the kingdom of God, because that's my key theological theme, is that Jesus talks more about the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God than anything else in the Gospels. So we want the church to be somewhere that equips and releases that. But we do that in a slightly different way. So our emphasis really is that we're a safe place to be healed, to be repaired. I mean, that's partly probably the journey for Liz and I as well. We have quite a lot of de-churched people who've been burnt or discouraged by church. We try and be a great place where you can explore and ask questions because of how we do services and how we do teaching. It's very informal. It's very relaxed. I mean, we're passionate. We always say we're passionate about two things, presence and power. So we try and assess things and say, did the Lord turn up? You know, did we feel his presence? And did we do what he said? And outside of that, we have very little structure. So people wander and get drinks, or when I preach, we do interactive teaching so that people ask questions and we discuss the Bible session together, the Bible section together. We worship as a family, so children join in. And to other people, it probably looks a bit like chaos, but to us, it looks like fun. So we have kids with flags and balloon making machines, and we have people painting, and we have adults flagging. So it's just a trying to do a different way of doing things that includes people, and welcomes people. But also it's a big thing, I guess, if you like, we're trying to be less structured and less demanding while creating a place where people can encounter, go deeper and feel safer.
Your value statements, Stuart, were very distinctive as I looked at them on your website. I'm not suggesting we go through all 10, but were there particular values that might give an illustration for listeners of how distinctly you're trying to create vision for the people there?
Yeah, I think there's two or three that I think are absolutely crucial. So we talk about kingdom before church, and that really defines how we try and do church in a way that is not demanding. So we're not trying to say, you know, we've got 5 prayer meetings and 4 drama practice meetings. We don't do that. We virtually everything that we do on a Sunday. So if we have a prayer meeting, we do it on a Sunday. We also meet as a family to eat and enjoy being together on a Sunday. So it's not just about doing a service, it's about being kingdom. And that means we're really keen on supporting people in their everyday working environments, be that running a business, be it being education, whatever it might be. We're about equipping and saying, we don't want you to feel that your job is to serve the routine and the demands of the church. Rather, we want the church to be a place that releases and equips you and that you want to be at. And that's a really big thing for us. And that does affect our pattern. So we don't actually worship and do encounter and teaching every Sunday. Some Sundays we go off and do outreach events in the middle of the town, or we might do a prayer breakfast, or we might have lunch together. Because that's the point is kingdom is about family, and kingdom before church means we're going to be less structured and have more time to do different things. I would say, I mean, the other big thing is presence before plans. So our desire is to give the Lord room to move, you know, and if that means that at the end of a worship time where people are giving out words of knowledge, or we're just allowing time for the Spirit to give a prophetic word or something like that, and if that means, well, you know, we feel like that we don't need or there isn't room for the sermon this week, we'll skip it, because presence before plans. Equally, you know, if somebody feels like they've got a really important thing to say, we might give, you know, 9/10 of the time to discussing the, well, preaching and discussing the thing we want to look at, and have less time for other things. So it's about being very flexible. And I guess the final thing I would say is we talk about invitation before expectation, and all the values are done that way. You know, we're not saying that church is unimportant. I'm just saying that kingdom is more important. So it's kingdom before church. It's presence before plans. We do some planning, but presence matters more. And then we talk about invitation before expectation. We don't, you know, we don't keep some register of who's there and who isn't. We have a pastoral eye on whether people are, you know, missing, and I want to keep an eye on that and look after them. But it's not like, you know, you should be here to fulfill this rota or do that, because we don't really do the rota thing of, you know, you've got to do drinks or whatever else. So it's about using values. I mean, it's interesting your opening statement. I would actually say leadership is about describing reality as it is for people and being able to sit in that with people, but it's also about calling them into a future. It's about setting before them that God is good, and he has good plans, and he has specific things he wants to equip us to do. So that's a lot of how we try and do things, really.
So, sounds beautiful, Stuart. Can you remember the first time, maybe as a Baptist minister, where you maybe sensed God's presence in a way that meant that your plans were unlikely to carry on in the way that they hoped to be? I'm guessing that's probably where it was all birthed.
Yeah, really. I mean, it felt like the Lord was saying to me, well, I'm calling you into a new option. And one of my defining characteristics sometimes is that I can be loyal past the point of requirement, if you like. And it felt to me like the Lord was saying, retrospectively, you know, you chose to stay in the situation that you were in. I offered you a shortcut. You chose to go the long way around. That's fine. I was with you then, and I'm with you now. But maybe next time, listen in. So, I mean, I've had quite a few times when sometimes I've heard his voice. Sometimes I've, many people, it's a bit of scripture. Sometimes it's just that sense of, okay, this is what you're saying. So, yeah, I've had a few times like that where I've heard him and just sought to see, sought to pursue him. And that, I mean, that's a big part of what we do in our worship. Would be a great sense of let's just wait and see what the Lord wants to say. You know, let's give him chance to speak. Let's share the word that we think he might be, and create an environment where people are willing to give it a go. We talk a lot about cross the chicken line, come and give it a go, and if you feel like you've got it wrong, that's not an issue. The Lord wants you to try and give it a go. So that's a big part of us.
Fabulous. Stuart, you draw from South Bradford, Halifax and beyond. You have different venues. How does it all kind of work?
Well, I mean, effectively, Liz and I, so actually we only lead the church. Well, we get paid for a day a week. What we really do is we do something called Kingdom Ministries, which is where we do mentoring, and we run a supernatural school where we train and equip people to step into signs, wonders and miracles. So it all sort of fits together in different ways. So we do the school, a venue that we hire from another church in the city that we have a really good connection with. And then on the Sundays that we meet, where we do worship and input, we meet at a scout hut. But it's, don't think, you know, dusty room, badly repaired. Our scout hut has air conditioning, carpets and a fitted kitchen. It's right. Lovely. And they allow us to store some equipment there. But then on the intervening weeks, we'll be out on the streets, or somebody will open their home, or we may go meet at Wetherspoons and have breakfast together and then go off from to pray for the staff. We're quite well known at the local Pizza Express, because we often go and do things in the town centre and then go into Pizza Express and get some lunch. Other pizza restaurants are available, of course. So we do a variety of things in different places. It does mean there's a bit of setup work, because you're in different venues and trying to create a different atmosphere in different places. So we have some very tightly packed storage boxes full of pop-up banners and artwork and all that sort of thing that we put around the venue to make it ours. A bit of planning, and some people who are willing to join in. But again, we try and do that. We don't have a setup team. What we say is, you know, we're going to be there half an hour before we start. We'll have some food, we'll have some drinks, we'll have chance to chat with each other. And while we do that, we'll set up together. And that works really well. It's part of an expression of being family together. So rather than it being, you know, thou shalt be here at 10:15, because we say we'll start when we're ready and we'll finish when we're done. And if you need to leave before we're finished, you go. And if you need to come late because you've been working nights or you've been working on a shift or whatever else, you come when you're ready and we'll work it out together. So it's just part of our being more about what I would say should need to be the core things, the gathering around his word, responding to his truth, and recognizing his presence, rather than being about a timetable and a structure.
Stuart, you've experience of social enterprise. I understand you're developing this kind of within the orbit of the church. What are the leadership challenges of doing that?
Well, yeah, it's quite interesting. I mean, we run a business now as Kingdom Ministries. So that's something we continue to do. And then I've got experience of running, I mean, a quite big social enterprises, 1.6 million at its top with nearly 70 staff. And a whole range of activities. I mean, part of the challenge really is keeping a focus that's appropriate for both sides of the organisation, if you like. So if you're running a social enterprise, you know, the main thing, if you want to run a true social enterprise, is it should make money. It should be run so that it provides for itself, which is where we moved a lot towards with where I was last doing this. Some people talk about social enterprises, but what they actually do is that they're grant dependent. Well, that's not an enterprise. An enterprise is a business, and a business either gets sponsorship or makes money. So having that focus to be able to build something that is effective, that is efficient, where staff feel valued, but also know that they're expected to work. You know, there's a job to be done, and it needs to be done well. That can mean you get the tensions of just normal staff management that you get with any commercial organisation. You know, how do you deal with people who don't do all their work or consistently come late? Trying to do that in a way that honours the kingdom, but it's still about, well, we're running an enterprise, and that needs commitment and that needs effort. But doing that with grace, love, and peace, while at the same time trying to focus the organization on this is part of the kingdom of God, this is serving his plans and purposes. I guess it's the same thing really on both sides. I lead by setting vision and then building a set of values that for me allow people to express who they are but know where the boundaries are. You know, this is how we do life. And that's not, I mean, one of my leadership maxims is learned from Danny Silk at Bethel Church in Redding, California, who says, you know, on a good day, all I get to do is control me. I can't and I won't control you. And that's a very important thing for me. And the way that you manage that is you set vision and values. You say, this is who we are. This is how we do life. And if you want to be part of us, you do life like this. And if you want to do life differently, that's absolutely fine. And that's your choice. But you'll go do that somewhere else because our vision and values are this, and this is how we do life together.
What sort of, I can say, what sort of social enterprise was it, Stuart? What's
we ran a nursery, a 120 place nursery in the end. We had a housing project, so we bought houses on the local estate and used them as a, so we were a social landlord. We had a fruit and veg stall. We did parenting advice and services. I mean, you name it, we would try and get into it. Oh. We were just on the verge of opening a shop, so that we were looking into buying, for example, just buying really big drums of washing powder and allowing people to get the discount of volume while still being able to spend only a couple of pounds, because that's all you might have when you're on benefit. You sure. can't go on, you know, people who are poor. Part of the issue is that you don't get the benefits of scale because you can't pay on direct debit and you can't buy the big box of washing powder or whatever it would be. So we did things like forming energy cooperatives and buying in bulk, but allowing people to buy in small quantities, but it's still at the discounted price from bulk. So it's a whole range of things, really, to just to serve a local area.
Stuart, every church would say they're dependent on God to intervene in people's lives. This is a particular value for you in seeking to raise levels of expectation that a normal Christian life should be a supernatural life.
Yeah.
How have you seen that work out? Because it is a bit of a switch in mindset for many Christians, isn't it?
It is. I mean, we've seen it work out amazingly well. We've seen people come in who are uncertain about, you know, is the supernatural part of the normal Christian life? Particularly in school, in the Celebrate School of Supernatural Ministry that we run, that applications are open for now. Quick adverts, you can hear that bit. You know, we do a lot of training with people about understanding that this is the normal Christian experience, that this is the life that Jesus lived. And it wasn't to set an example that's impossible to follow. It was to set an example that we get drawn into. So, you know, we see people regularly coming into both church and particularly school, and finding out who they really are in their identity. And we, so for example, we, you know, we train people in the prophetic, hearing God's voice and speaking out how he feels. And we see people come in and, you know, that we talk to them about the fact that God might speak through dreams or visions or your imagination, or you may see a picture, or you may think of a musical song, or you may get a piece of a film or color or whatever it might be. And as the year goes on, or as they're in our church, we'll get them to sort of, we'll try it out, share the picture and see if you get a response. Keep a note of when you get a word or a picture and what the response is, and then keep on growing in it. And we see people move in from the journey. They often come and sort of say, well, you know, it's probably me, but it might be God. And you can share that one word. You might get a scripture. You might get a bit from a song, and somebody maybe a little bit more experience might be able to bring those together and see the pattern that the Lord's developing. So we have a lot of expectation and experience. And a really big thing is testimony. Revelation 19:10 says, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So when we see God doing something and we remember it, and we speak it out, we're inviting him to do it again. So we put a lot of emphasis in both church and school on sharing testimony, by which we mean, you know, sometimes it's a testimony of, I prayed for this person at the bus stop and, you know, their pain left their elbow. I prayed for somebody and they couldn't see out of their left eye, and then we prayed for only a few minutes and the pressure dropped dramatically in their eye and they could see again. We share stories like that. We share, but we also share stories of when you've tried, you know, so you've gone up to somebody at the bus stop and said to them, oh, I think the Lord might be saying this to you, you know, and they've got on the bus and left you looking like an idiot. Because the point is, you share the effort, you share the story of how you've tried to do, not just the success. So we build a culture where people know that it's not only safe to have a go, but actually it's fun to have a go. And if it doesn't work out, I'm not talking moral failure here. I mean, you know, you try and say something to somebody in the street and they tell you to get lost, but probably in a less polite way. You know, you pick yourself up, you dust yourself down and you do it again. So we've had quite a lot of exposure, experience of just encouraging people to keep on moving in and not stopping, and producing a safe place to try, and sharing testimonies. I can't emphasize how much testimonies are a crucial way of unlocking, seeing the pattern of what the Lord's doing and being invited into more.
Stuart, it was Steve Backland who said that our hope level determines our influence, and the person with the most hope has the most influence. I just wonder if you find it easy to retain hope and pass it on to people. And as we're kind of coming to a close, I'm just thinking there may be listeners who are feeling hopeless, if they're really honest, and what you would kind of say to them.
I mean, I guess there are some structural things about how you build a culture of hope. We have a fundamental belief that God is good. And he only does good things. So we focus on his goodness. But we also talk about, you have to learn to live in the mystery. I work for him. He doesn't work for me. He doesn't have to give me an answer for why he does or doesn't do something. I have to keep my eyes pure on him, and I'm focused on his goodness and building a culture of honesty. I mean, at that individual pastoral level, what I would say to people is, you know, get yourself in an environment where you're safe and understood, but where people will encourage you to keep your eyes on him. I mean, Steve Backlund also says, if there's an area of your life that isn't glistening with hope, then you're living under a lie. And finding the root of that lie and exposing it to the truth of Scripture and the truth of his Spirit is really important. I remember a long time ago, I was preaching on Romans 5, which is, you know, the passage that talks about character, and character produces hope, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. And so often that's misunderstood because people think, oh, you know, if I keep on doing things, then I'll develop the right character. No, the whole context of the passage is that this is the work of God's goodness. This is about his character being worked into our lives. So I don't want to develop a character that's about persevering in my effort. I want a character that's about persevering in his goodness and recognizing his truth. So the Lord sort of, I was looking at that passage and then he showed me, I had a picture in my mind of, I did an A-level in chemistry and we used to have these conical flasks, you know, flasks that are wider at the bottom than and then narrower at the top. And there was oil and water in this flask. And the Lord said to me, how do you get rid of the oil? And I said, well, you pour it out. And the Lord said, no, you don't. And I was like, oh, okay, well, what do you do then? So, well, you shake it up. And he was like, no, you don't. You pour in more water so that the oil flows out of the top. And that was always a word to me of, you know, when I'm feeling hopeless, I need to be more in him. I've got to have more of his truth, more worship, more time with people who are going to talk to me about his goodness. So if you like, flush out the things, the lies that have got in the way between me and his hopefulness. And I mean, the other thing I would say is, often for people who've lost their hope, it's an inner healing issue. Things have happened that have left them broken or hurt or disappointed. And dealing with where that's come from and how it's impacting you is a key thing. And, you know, there are a number of really, really good inner healing tools. There's HeartSync. We use something called Sozo. That's all about, you know, for most of the healing tools work on the basis of, let's get to the root of the lie and bring some truth to it and move you into a position where you are once again flooded with his presence and with his love and with his truth. And that, going back to that flask analogy, flushes out the stuff that's got in the way. So that, I think there's a variety of things about hope. And again, testimony, filling yourself with the stories of who God is and what God has done is a great way of maintaining hope.
Stuart, that's a wonderful way to finish. Thank you so much for all that you shared. It's exciting to hear how God's been at work in your church and in the social enterprises. And this is going to be an inspiration to many. So thank you so much.
Thank you. I mean, if you want to hear more, we have a podcast on Kingdom Ministries. If you look for Kingdom Ministries, Greg will come up. And you can also look at our school website, celebratesupernaturalschool.org.uk. And we'd love to share more with you about who we are and what we do.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. It was lovely to chat with Stuart Gregg today, one of the leaders with his wife Liz of Celebrate Church Bradford. I was especially struck by that illustration of oil on water and the need to pour on more water if you want to flush out the oil. So I guess the question for us is, if we're feeling hopeless, where can we find water? Of course, with that metaphor, ultimately it comes from God. Jesus spoke about providing his living water. But I appreciate too that sometimes we need a human being to help us and encourage us in a way, perhaps to chat through some of the things that have happened in our lives that may be making us feel hopeless. And so if you need to chat to someone to pray, then of course, Premier Lifeline, 0300 111 0101, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday to Friday would be one place you could go, but you may know others more local to you who can see in person. If you're local to Bradford, of course, then go to www.celebratesupernaturalschool.org.uk if you want to find out more about the school that they offer. And the Kingdom Ministries Bradford podcast is also available. Just again, type in the name where you receive your podcast and you should be able to access it very easily. So this is Andy Peck thanking you for your company and looking forward to you joining us once again next week. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Profile in association with Premier Christianity Magazine.